I'm Alex Van Beek, and in each episode, we'll take a closer look at the science, the stories, and the solutions to both pet and livestock animal care. Let's explore what's possible.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 4 on Elevate Animal Health podcast. I'm your host, Alex Van Beek, and I'm looking forward to taking a little deeper dive for the first time, step by step, through the GI tract, followed by the importance of bioavailability and what that term means. And then also a new term, probably you've never heard before, but it's a very important term to understand. And then what are some action points we can do with it? So we're going to take this episode and dive into those topics. We appreciate any questions you might have, any comments you might have, or anything you want to look at a little closer. And that helps guide us also on what our fans and customers and subscribers like yourself are interested in. So we love the GI tract. That is who Van Beek is, from production animals to companion animals, because so much of the outcome or what you see of their life is a manifestation of what takes place inside that GI tract. Now, we'll start off with a description of the GI tract, the gut, right? People refer to it as the gut, the GI tract, your intestinal tract. It's all the same thing. We all know we're talking about the same thing, but really, what is it? Where does it start? Where does it end? And how should I think about the GI tract? It's unique. It's not like every other thing in the body. In fact, the GI tract is not directly tied to anything. It's like its own organism or its own body, right? And it runs from mouth to esophagus, stomach, small intestine, large intestine, colon, mouth to colon is your GI tract. And along that whole journey, everything that you need, your pet needs for survival is gained from that GI tract. What all your other organs need comes from what happens in the GI tract. And now I said surviving. But if we dive deeper into understanding what my pet has or what I have living in my GI tract, remember last episode we talked about the society and the societal structure. Right? Just think of structure, for example. If you have a certain society, but you do not have the structural or infrastructure for them to operate in a thriving manner, the part of that society is going to leave and it'll balance itself out. So you have to really consider all of this goes together. And as we take this journey through, think of the different aspects that are taking place when I'm looking for my own food, but I'm looking for my pet's food also. Or production animals, right? Sometimes people want to feed cheap in a production situation, feed cheap, but you can never get great results. You can never get the genetic achievement results in that animal with the concept of feeding cheap,
because they're not going to be able to have the energy required to meet that genetic potential. It's impossible. We're going to take a deep dive and we're going to look at each part of this as we go along. In the mouth, that's where we're going to start. In the mouth, many things take place. We just think that's where we put food in and then we swallow and the rest takes care of it. That's where it starts once we swallow, right? No, there's the mechanical action of chewing that helps break things down already, right? So that's why the importance of, you've heard this probably before somewhere in your life, you should chew a certain amount of times. Well, I'm not someone that's going to sit there and count as I'm chewing. But that action can play an important and a crucial role in hedonic value. Texture, when you're talking about foods, is an important piece to enjoyment of a food. So texture plays a crucial role in the enjoyment of eating. And enjoyment in eating is a indicator or a key indicator for hedonic value. That's chewing. Starts that breakdown process. There's another part that takes place. And this is actually something that is crucial in production animals. If you want to jumpstart something before any food ever goes into the mouth, you have to address the olfactory sensors. The olfactory nerve endings that are located at the top of your sinus cavity, it's actually the shortest nerve that goes to your brain. And it's located right at the top. And as these volatile compounds pass over those nerve endings, they trigger memory. They trigger a reaction. Now, I would ask you to think about a couple of different scenarios a minute. And one of them would be taking a huge slice of raw lemon and you just bite right into the fruit of that lemon. Just thinking about it, probably from memory, probably you've done this as a child before and that memory hits. Just from that happening, you probably produce saliva because of the sour memory that produces that. Turn that lemon around and bite into the peel of it. Maybe you haven't done that, but you're going to get almost an opposite effect. You're going to get a constriction of those glands that would secrete saliva, and it's almost going to make you get a dry feeling in your mouth, right? So just by memory of certain foods, already you can jumpstart the digestive process and produce certain saliva amounts, which jumpstart the digestive process, because in saliva you have digestive enzymes. Okay. So there is so much that goes into it that we don't think about. Our body just naturally does, right? It's an involuntary action that takes place. It's like breathing. As that food enters into the mouth and you chew it, the pet chews it, the saliva gets in contact with it, you have now started that digestion of that food. The digestion process probably started already. I guarantee you, if you have ever had a dog that is hungry and they hear the bag of dog food going open, their tail starts wagging immediately. Well, you know they're happy about it. Their tail starts wagging immediately. By the time they're over to the bowl and you dump it in,
to their dog bowl. They probably have saliva dripping out of their mouth already. You see that process has started. And now they take their first bite, break down the kibble through the mechanical action of chewing, and it goes into the esophagus where you have a different pH range and you have different enzymes that are there, all the way into the stomach, which is where you're creating bile and the secretion of pepsin. So you're creating a different enzyme component there, but also the acids are helping that process of breaking down. So very crucial role in causing the food to become available. And that is why feeding a well-balanced diet along with certain prebiotics and enzymes can help support the pancreas in its job of secreting these enzymes and creating and manufacturing these enzymes. Without that, you start to see a significant impact on the pancreas itself. In fact, there's been studies done on the pancreas size due to inflammation on people fed only processed food versus people fed raw foods, natural foods, foods that contain enzymes. And they can directly correlate the size of the pancreas due to inflammation in the images they captured. So as we move down the GI tract, the specific enzymes that are responsible for that specific breakdown are highly important. We want to encourage as much healthy enzyme supplementation as possible to help support the pancreas itself. As we go from the stomach to the small intestine, and I'm only taking that, I mean, you have the duodenum and there's different components there even, but we're going to take the small intestine as a chunk and we're going to take the large intestine. Because grossly, that's where the manufacturing, I'm going to say, process is. The digestion process of foods. As you go into there, that's it. It all starts when, as a puppy, you know, but most of us don't know this information. Most of us didn't know this information maybe when we adopted our first dog or cat or bought them or whatever. Doesn't matter how they ended up in your family, but we most likely didn't know all this information. As the food enters into the small intestine, here's like some of the most crucial parts are taking place right now. Some of the most crucial digestion availability are taking place right now at that moment. And without the right supplementation, the animal cannot get access to what's going through the GI tract right now. And it's crucial for many different areas of the life cycle of the animal. I think of a puppy and they need development. So the availability of fat-soluble vitamins at that point are highly important. In fact, vitamin D, which I skipped on the last episode, is highly important for the formation of many functions, but also bone development. And I think some of these faster growing breeds, like some of your large breeds, where they're growing at a rapid stride, vitamin D is very crucial for them to get good, solid structural formation. And many other aspects about it. When I'm thinking of, geriatric animals, your older animals, then there are certain components they're going to need to break down that require good enzyme availability and enzyme activity, right? Remember, enzymes are active on pH. So when we start to look at food exiting the stomach, going into the small intestine, then I want you to really consider, how am I developing that small intestine, right? What am I doing? I buy food off the shelf, or I order it online, or get it from my vet, but what am I proactively doing to develop that small intestine and to keep it thriving? And that's where your prebiotics are very important, because I want to create the environment at which these enzymes are active for the right amount of time or a longer amount of time. I'll give you an example. In dairy cattle, we can increase the amount of energy available in any grain diet that, and not just dairy cattle, I should say cattle in general, especially beef, eating a high grain diet. But I can create energy availability simply by utilizing a good buffering agent. We happen to work with a product called Thermocal, and it buffers over an extended period of time. Like sodium bicarb is going to have a spike in buffering, but Thermocal is a prolonged buffering action, causing the enzyme alpha amylase to be active for a longer period of time. It causes the pH to be in a range for a longer period of time in which alpha amylase is active. So in a grain diet, that's the one I need to break down those carbohydrates. Anytime we're talking about digestion and thriving and optimal, I have to talk about GI structure. There are certain components we can do inside the GI tract. I'm thinking especially of the small intestine, because that's one of the most crucial areas for nutrient absorption to cause that animal to thrive. But there are things I can do, for example, feeding a prebiotic that would cause butyric acid to be more prevalent, because I'm causing bifidogenic bacteria to be the class of bacteria most prevalent, which then they cause butyric acid. In the butyric acid environment, I cause accelerated growth of villi structure. So I'm literally creating the environment in which is most conducive for villi growth. That is crucial when it comes to bioavailability and nutrient absorption. So when I think of the small intestine, I think of it's almost the powerhouse. Like that's where the crucial roles are for my body to thrive, or my pet to thrive, or my production animals to thrive, right? And now, species vary, I understand that. But we're talking about predominantly monogastrics right now, and pets. In that scenario, now, I just painted a little bit of a picture of
what the GI tract is so far, and I'll finish. But in that scenario, I want to lay a cautionary note out there that when I'm talking about the GI tract and I'm talking about what it does, the area of caution is anytime you see scours, anytime you see diarrhea, which can be from antibiotic treatments, it can be from stress factors, it can be from, you know, eating garbage off the road, it can be from separation anxiety, pets go through that. Anytime you deal with that, if it goes longer than 24 hours, you will start to build scar tissue. Not might, you will. Now, what I don't want to do is build scar tissue. So, resolution to a good stool quality again, time is a major factor, right? You want to learn more about that, check out Diagel. You can find it on the Van Beek Natural Science website. Time to resolution is critical because I do not want to develop scar tissue. Scar tissue will take away immediately the availability of absorption, period. Scar tissue, it's one of the biggest problems people like a burn victim would deal with is the ability for their body to sweat. They lose that ability for transfer, right? And so I want to keep in mind that when I'm looking at what to do for my pet in the GI tract, I want to really focus. I'm going to call it, you know, an 80-20 rule. 80% of my time, what's building that small intestine where the majority of my necessity or necessary nutrient absorption takes place? And then you have the large intestine where predominantly you have the breakdown of certain compounds. It's also on pH range that certain enzymes are available, and certain bacteria classes you want available to help you absorb and break down some of the undigested carbohydrates at that point. And with it's one of the most interesting factors in diet and nutrition with good prebiotic supplementation. You can almost create, and good enzyme supplementation, you can almost create 100% efficiency. You're not going to get 100% efficiency, but you're going to get extremely close to that. And really give the intestinal tract, small intestine, large intestine, the necessary tools that it takes to break down and cause the environment to be conducive for them to do their job. And that is nutrient absorption. They need to be able to, what is passing through, absorb in. And bacteria, so probiotics, enzymes, prebiotics are all going to play a crucial role in allowing them to do their job. I'm going to talk about bioavailability for a moment. In last episode, I spoke about, I gave an example of turmeric and black pepper, right? So, turmeric and black pepper, it's a commonly known synergy that has to be there in order for it to be bioavailable. And maybe you didn't know that, but in our world, that's what we study all the time, is these things. So just because you have an element does not mean it's available. So just because on the back of the bag of that dog food, you have a list of components, and you're saying, yep, this hits the check mark. Yep, that one does. It does not mean that your dog or your cat actually gets them. They chew it, they swallow it, it goes into their GI tract, but it doesn't mean their body uses it. It doesn't mean it's absorbed and utilized and digested and drawn in and available for that animal to put into use. It needs to become bioavailable. So it needs the necessary elements that cause it to be utilized. And one of the biggest things I can think about in foods that I often see, and we're seeing an increase in bad hair coats and dry, itchy skin, is the availability of fats. If I don't have the availability of good fats, then I also lose the ability, because fat is necessary for fat-soluble vitamins, I lose the ability to absorb the vitamins I need to cause a thriving mucosal layer in the GI tract, or on my eyes, or on my skin. So there's a couple of tiny little things that you can change in your pet's diet, and one of those is enzyme supplementation across the board, because they need that to unlock what lays in that bag of dog food, because they can't always unlock everything today. So bioavailability is a key element that a lot of people, I don't think, realize or think about on a daily basis, or when they're purchasing their dog food, or thinking about what supplementation might be the best for my pet. Now, as the animal ages and they need more, some of the proteins and components for joint health, they definitely need bioavailability to be a part of the thought process when shopping for foods and supplements for my pets. Okay. I want you to really consider that the next time you're looking at what do I do to cause my pet to thrive versus survive. Think about bioavailability. Think about what's in that bag. Read the label. Learn how to read a label. That's another aspect. Reading a label can give you a lot of clues about things, right? AFCO has a certain requirement of how a label for a pet food needs to be organized. Right now, right off the top of my head, I can't remember if it's alphabetically or by weight, substance, where, for example, the first one would be the most substance in that food. I think that's the way it is. So when you're thinking about the food I'm feeding, and I really like that bag of food that has a wild salmon swimming through the river, or something else, a bison on it, or whatever that might be, doesn't mean that the animal is getting all the protein out of that food that they need. So if you're a sporting dog pet parent, or hunting animals, or whatever, if you're into the sporting realm or active animal realm where they need a lot of fats and a lot of proteins, you need to have a good lipase and good protease enzyme package for that animal to cause the availability, the bioavailability of the elements in that food for that dog to use. Why would you buy it? Why would you feed it? And then the animal cannot use a good portion of it. There's always room to gain with enzyme supplementation for bioavailability. Remember that. The other one is hedonic value. I'm going to spend a little bit of time on this. It's somewhat of a new probably a new word. I think 2021, there was a study that came out on relating hedonic value. That's the first time I actually heard about the term. And it has to do with memory of experience. So if you went out to eat with your spouse, you had a beautiful time, the environment was really nice, your conversation was wonderful, really the entire night went without any problems and was beautiful, then the food you ate really doesn't matter as much. Now, it's interesting because when that happens, you're going to end up with better digestion. When that takes place, you have a better memory of that food, even though it might have not been spectacular, right? But you've also been at a place where you've had a meal and you think, wow, this is, I mean, the food was amazing. And at the same time, the company was horrible. And you're not looking to go back there to that same thing. It doesn't have the same value anymore. You also have that in, I'm going to jump to production animals really quick. And I'm going to look at dairy cows for a moment. In the feed lane, when we're in, June right now, but soon July and August, and the whole United States is going to be hot in July and August. In the feed lane, when I have that feed sitting there, a common term is it's heating up. That means you have tons of activity going on, life happening from a microbial standpoint, literally causing that food to smell horrible. Cows eat based off of smell. So now they have to eat it. They're hungry. Their body is forcing them to eat it. They just milked however many pounds. Their body is craving that, but yet the food sitting there looks terrible. It smells terrible. And they have to eat it. So in dairy production, anytime you're dealing with excess refusal or cleanup, you're missing the boat. You're missing a ton because that animal, not only do they not get the energy value, I mean, these microbes are using the energy in the diet. Not only do they not get the value because let's say you got 5% refusal or cleanup, but also the hedonic value is terrible. So the next time they see you coming along with the feeder wagon and you're going to dump feed there and they get somewhat of a smell of that, they're not going to have a good memory of it. And you don't jump start that digestive process. That's the whole goal of hedonic value in production animals. It's the same thing with pets. In feeding pets, you have to think of a couple of things. One, physically, where's their bowl? Is it in a place that causes them to be relaxed? If it's not, you're causing anxiety. They don't have the same enjoyment in eating that food. It's not in a place that causes them to be relaxed. You want to create the best experience. This might sound funny. To some people, it probably sounds funny. However, you want to create the best experience for your pet. It's just like a dining experience that you would expect. So you want it in a comfortable area, in a comfortable setting, maybe not in the corner. You want that animal to desire to go there to eat. Because the higher the hedonic value, the higher the amount of gastric enzyme secretion you have, the higher amount of saliva that's produced. And when that starts, all your enzymatic activity starts. You get a jump start on creating what was a food, just manufactured, whether on the farm or through a pet food, you get that already started to break down, become bioavailable. So the nutrients that are able to be absorbed through that small intestine and the large intestine are ready and available for them to do their job. Think about that. Hedonic value, it's experience. It's the memories I have. It's the smell that I like that smell. Who can create or who can make popcorn or bake cookies or bake fresh bread? And not just those three right there. And it doesn't create, maybe for some they don't like popcorn or whatever. Well, one of them creates a good memory and one of them stimulates already enzyme production because I smelled it. So remember, there's a lot of things that go into hedonic value. Is that the type of food your pet likes and goes after? Is that an area they want to eat, right? Maybe the cat doesn't like to have their bowl right next to the dog's, and vice versa maybe. So consider those elements. If you have questions on that, that's a new topic. If you have questions on that, I'd love to try to answer them. Not saying I can, but I'd love to try to answer them and bring more value to the conversation for you as a pet parent and a farmer or homesteader. We're going to get into more of the homesteader type topics, backyard poultry, farming topics in later episodes. But I appreciate everybody subscribing and joining us on this podcast. I hope the very basic deep dive, even though it wasn't really a thorough deep dive, we can go miles deeper on the GI tract, gives you a better understanding for the roles and why it's so important to be proactive and conscious about what I'm feeding, how I'm feeding it, and what I'm supplementing with. So appreciate you staying with us during this podcast and look forward to bringing out more content to you in probably episode 5, 6, and beyond. Thank you. I'm your host, Alex Van Beek.